What's up, everybody? Welcome to Fantasy Baseball Today on Thursday, June 12th. Adam Azer here with Michael Hercom and Al Melchior. What do you guys want to talk about today?
Oh, so we really did do away with pleasantries because Scott wasn't happy with them, so...
We're mixing
Scott,
it up.
Scott's not here.
Yeah, so some days there will be pleasantries, some days there won't. How are you, Herc?
Good, thank you, Adam.
Good, I'm glad to hear that. What do you guys want to discuss today? What's on your mind?
I want to discuss what's on your mind.
Okay.
Because you're working up quite a lather over this horrible slump that Michael Wacha is
I think you're overreacting to my reaction.
Overreaction?
No, look, Michael Wacha didn't strike out any Rays yesterday. Struck out one in his last start. He has struck out 10 batters over 24 innings in his last four starts, and seven of those came in one start.
Yeah, well, I'm looking at his game log. He struck out 14 batters over his last 30 innings, so it's even worse than that.
But, there you go.
But, all right, Rays and the Royals are two of the best contact hitting teams. They're not necessarily two of the best hitting teams, as we know. But they're tough to strike
out. One combined strikeout. Not good contact. We're talking about one combined strikeout.
Okay, but then the game before that, seven strikeouts in six innings.
Right, that's what I said. That was the one game.
Okay. But I don't know. I think you're making a lot out of basically three starts out of four, two of which against teams that are kind of like the anti-Astros and Braves.
I wasn't really making a lot out of it. We got a tweet from Aaron Danley. He said, might want to talk about Wacha on today's show. One strikeout in his last two starts. It looks like his velocity might be down too. That I did not see. Well, I looked that up on Brooks Baseball. And according to Brooks Baseball, that is not really the case with his four-seam fastball. Cutter a little bit down.
Could it just be a market correction? I mean, now he's up to 76 strikeouts in 84 innings, which is
that's what I said last time, but it was at a strikeout per inning. But now it's below that.
Speaking of Cutter, though, enough. Do you think they're going to get the World Cup?
I hope not, Al.
Yeah.
Everybody has a different way of pronouncing that country's name.
Yeah.
But it would be a crying shame if they did. Wouldn't you agree?
I would agree.
Oh, some of the crazy stories about Cutter getting the World Cup and the slave labor, basically slave labor, that they're
anyway about
doing.
Wacha.
Herc's done with that.
If he had a few more wins, I don't think people would be so like Shelby Miller. You know, kind of masking how he's had some shortcomings because he has seven wins. So if Wacha had seven wins, this wouldn't even be a conversation.
Oh, okay. So
he's under 500 right now. I think people look at that. His rest of his stat line is pretty impressive.
I'm not worried about that, Herc. I mean, that's not part of the conversation for me.
I hadn't considered that angle, yeah.
Well, whatever. Okay, Al's not concerned about Wacha. Herc, are you?
No, absolutely not.
We got to talk about Tyler Matzek, Grant Balfour, Adam Wainwright, who had an MRI on his elbow. No structural damage. Next start is uncertain. He received a cortisone shot. Remember, Wainwright had Tommy John surgery in 2011. So I guess we just did talk about him, but that's the biggest news item for the day. Liriano is on the DL with a strained oblique, who's going to replace him in Pittsburgh.
They're either looking at two relievers, Hader and Pimentel. Is that how you say his last name? Or they're going to go to AAA and pick a starter. They haven't named yet.
Well, now they've got Cole.
Sadler, excuse me. When I say Hader, Sadler's name.
Today is busts day.
Nice.
So we will get to some of the biggest busts. We also asked you on Twitter who are some of the biggest busts on your teams, and we will react. Let's go to the quote of the day. Number one, it's from Robin Ventura, the White Sox manager, on John Danks. I think Johnny has really picked it up. He went through a period where he wasn't commanding his fastball and changeup. He made some adjustments, and he's really been different since then, not only with control, but it seems like his velocity has some zip to it, and his changeup looks better. John Danks, last four starts, 2-1, 1.53 ERA. 19 hits in 29 and a third with 6 walks, 17 strikeouts, and only one home run against the Yankees, the Padres, that's easy, then at the Dodgers and home against Detroit last night. So he's 34% owned. Anybody want John Danks?
Not really, and I wanted to be encouraged by what Danks has done lately, but yet I looked at it, and at least in the stats, the things that Ventura is talking about aren't really showing up. Because he's still not getting that many swings and misses. He hasn't walked that many guys, but his control in terms of strikes versus balls is not great. He's still allowing a lot of fly balls, which I think, particularly where he pitches, is a dangerous thing. So I feel like there's some flukiness going on with Danks.
Absolutely. Al, you've read my column this week on Waiver Wire. I said the same exact thing. I said it's encouraging.
They just made me sound like a plagiarist.
No, I'm just kidding. You're like in my mind. You're in the Herc mind. But same things. You're absolutely right. Look, he's pitching well at home, and he's not giving up home runs, which is kind of odd. Danks said himself, he said, look, I'm 2 years removed from surgery. I'm feeling like I was before I had the shoulder problems. He says, the thing he says is, I have movement on my pitches and my velocity's up. I checked his velocity. His velocity's actually down. It's not even where it used to be. So I don't know what he's thinking. Maybe he just feels good and he's in the zone.
Maybe
right
it's
now.
Up from his early season
nope.
struggles.
Nope. It's no? down, actually. Yeah, I couldn't believe it. But, you know, that's good. He's feeling good. But I think this is just a hot streak. That's where I'm at with John Danks right now.
Quote of the day number two is from Freddy Gonzalez, Braves manager. Quote, he has good stuff, 94, 95 mile per hour fastball. The whole day you're talking to guys, hey, this guy sprays it around a little bit. Be patient. I'm not sure how many three ball counts he got into, if any. And that is Gonzalez talking about Colorado starting pitcher Tyler Matzek, who we have dismissed. Herc has dismissed before the show started.
Yeah.
I said, should we pick him up in a deep league? He said, no.
Herc and I are creating a typhoon with all the dismissing and hand-waving we're doing with Matzek.
Yeah, the thing
yes.
with high heat style. Listen, this guy walked no one in his debut yesterday, but before that they said he didn't look good in his bullpen. He has control problems. In the minors, he walked a million batters. It took him forever. He was like a 2009 first-round pick. He had, you know, he left the team at one point when he was in the minors, got on track, but still, he was walking 4.29 batters per inning before he got called up this year. Major league hitters are going to make you pay for that. And maybe the Braves, you know, were a little, I guess, jittery. They wanted to jump all over this rookie, and he got the best of them. But I don't think this is going to last.
I think that's exactly what it looks like. And, Adam, as you pointed out right before we started taping here, I mean, three out of four pitches for strikes, which is awesome, and very strange for a guy who in the minors was throwing three out of five for strikes, barely. That includes 11 whiffs. And when you look at the Braves and how frequently they do that, it just looks like this is a team, as you said, Herc, probably was just chomping at the bit. And, you know, I haven't looked at the maps to see, you know, where the pitches actually were in terms of strike zone, but I got to think they swung at some bad pitches.
They have struck out the 7th most times in baseball, and they have scored the third fewest runs, those Atlanta Braves. So Matzek's owned in 7% of leagues.
That's actually amazing to me. They're only 7th in strikeouts.
Yeah, I thought it would be more than that.
Have they played 10 games less than everybody else?
Well, if they it's so bunched up. Like Houston's okay. Third with 559 Ks. Atlanta's 7th with 552. So, you know, they're almost tied for third. The White Sox blowing away the competition with 589, and the Marlins second with 566. Hanley Ramirez was out with a shoulder injury. Sean Figgins and Miguel Rojas played third base and shortstop for the Dodgers, respectively.
I believe it's the same shoulder that's given him problems in the past, too. That's not good.
He's he's a bust for one of our emailers, I believe. Oh, maybe I didn't include that one.
Now you did.
Now I did. See a bust for you guys, Hanley Ramirez?
Isn't he still highly racking up a lot of points? And
okay, look, the thing is with Hanley and with Posey in particular, you look at where they rank among shortstops in points in Roto.
Or catcher.
Or catcher. It's not bad.
No.
But you look at the production, it's not good. You're not getting the value that you hope for when you drafted these guys as high as you did. So let's start with Hanley here. We'll get to Posey later.
Well, I mean, yeah, Hanley, you know, he's had some injury problems, and everyone thought exactly where he was drafted this year. Everyone's like, oh, he's contract year. He's going to go off. He's focused, especially what he did late last year when he came back from injury. So isn't that been the trend with Hanley Ramirez the last few years? He just up and down, but in the end, he's produces for fantasy owners. And isn't that, you know, what we want, the end game?
Well, I'm just saying he's producing for a shortstop. He's not producing for a first-round pick or an early second-round pick.
You know, it wouldn't have actually even occurred to me to call Hanley Ramirez a bust, and here's why. Because on second thought, I don't think that you're really wrong. But he's doing the two things that I look for the most from him, which is produce home runs and steals. The batting average isn't there, and that's, Herc, I think what you're talking about, is that he's been all over the place throughout his career with batting average. And it seemed like last year he finally, you know, got back to where he had been in the better years of the Marlins. and it's all, you know, what's happening on balls in play. Because you know, his strikeout rate's been pretty decent all along, and it's just a frustrating thing to try to figure out what to expect from Ramirez, because that makes a big difference in his value. If he's hitting 255 as opposed to 310, 320, it makes a big difference, and yet it's the thing that's the most random, not just for him, but for most hitters.
And when you talk about ADP, Adam, and just for those two positions, remember, scarcity. I mean, everyone gets scared about not having a catcher, not having a shortstop. So that's why those guys go a little higher than, you know, maybe they...
I know, but that's to my point. Like, it looks like a reach now.
It doesn't
for Tulo, but it looks like...
But if that's your draft strategy, I don't think so, because he's still one of the highest scoring shortstops. He's still one of the highest scoring catchers.
Yeah, but I'm not taking a guy who's giving me, like, fifth-round value.
But I feel like you kind of missed the whole thing, what I was saying there, that if it weren't for the batting average... He wouldn't be a bust at all.
Right, right. No, I didn't miss what you said. I'm just saying.
We love you, Al. We don't miss what you say, buddy.
I think he got overrated because last year he was, when he played, Hanley Ramirez was the best player in baseball.
Sure.
No disrespect to Trout or Cabrera or anything like that. You just look at the slugging percentage. He's slugging, I don't know, it slugged like .630 last year or something like that. It was insane. And in terms of fantasy points, which is a pretty good measure of everything you're doing as a hitter, Hanley Ramirez was the best per plate appearance. So
I guess I'm with Al. I just didn't view him as a bust.
I'm not viewing him as a bust, really. I'm just saying other people do, and I'm just making
well,
the
you
case
know, no, that's
them.
What. I, no, right, exactly. We're not saying you did. You brought it up, and I would have never brought him up on that list. So
okay, and just to look up the number, he slugged .638 last year. Moving on, Wilson Ramos is on the DL with a hamstring injury. Sandy Leon was called up, and Washington hopes to have Wilson Ramos back in 15 days. Josh Donaldson sat. He was 0 for his last 21. Brian Dozier left Wednesday's game with a stiff back. Carlos Gonzalez had a fatty mass with tentacles removed from his finger.
I got a lot of fatty mass, man.
Tentacles?
Tentacles?
Did you see any timetable with Cargo?
5 weeks.
Oh.
That's what I saw. That's a report, yeah.
Okay, 5 weeks. Josh Harrison, day-to-day with an ankle injury. Jacoby Ellsbury has a 15-game hitting streak. Jasmiel Pinto was sent to AAA.
Boo.
So that stinks. And Yoenis Cespedes made another awesome throw. He threw out Albert Pujols going to third on another ball that he bobbled or that he misplayed.
It's like, is he doing this on purpose now?
That's the rope-a-dope. All right, later on, there were some seriously awesome pitching performances last night from guys you expected from, like Tanaka and Darvish and Hamels.
Cueto,
guys you don't necessarily expect it from, like Phil Hughes, although he's been really good, at Toronto.
Yeah, no, I did not expect that.
Tyson Ross, Dallas Keuchel does it again. We'll get to all that. Any major standout stuff that I'm missing here before we get into the lineup stuff and the busts?
I tell you what stands out to me, I actually want to bring this up during the Danks discussion, because Tommy Malone had a very good start.
Yeah.
And on the surface, those two lefties seem to have a very similar appeal. And yet when I look at Malone, he's supporting what he's doing with the skill stats, because he is throwing with better control than Danks is. And while both guys are fly ball pitchers, Danks is getting more infield flies. So I'm buying the low batting average against versus Malone more than I am on Danks.
Malone's getting the infield flies or Danks is?
Malone is.
Okay.
I mean, so, like at a ridiculously high rate.
But Malone, isn't he just kind of predictable in that you don't start him in he's like Vargas.
Well, but that's actually an upgrade for Malone. Because going into last year, that's – what I liked about him was that there was that predictability and pitching at home and at good venues. He looked safe to start. He was just lousy pretty much across the board.
Okay.
But now he looks like he's back to the guy I expected him to be a year ago.
Right. All right, then. Lineup stuff. Steven Drew was out again. Jonathan Herrera played shortstop for Boston. Oscar Taveras sat yesterday. Peter Borges and John Jay were in the lineup. And if you haven't heard the news, Mike Matheny says he's not really thrilled about the idea of Oscar Taveras playing in center field, so we'll see what happens when Matt Adams gets back, which could be soon. Yoenis Cespedes and Josh Hamilton were both robbed of home runs yesterday.
It's actually Friday, by the way. That is news.
Matt Adams
is supposed to return Friday.
Coco Crisp, 81% owned. He's getting hot. When he's hot, you want him. Cole Calhoun, I'm starting to think this is just going to be a lefty-righty thing. Cole Calhoun sat again for Colin Cowgill, who's a righty hitter, and Calhoun's a lefty. And it was a second straight left-handed pitcher on the mound. It was Pomerantz and then Malone 2 days in a row, and Calhoun was out.
I can't believe that. He's such a good talent. Why don't they just let these guys play some baseball? This is what they do.
Are you going to lower him in your rankings?
I didn't yesterday. I thought about it because I think he's due. This guy is too good of a baseball player. I mean, look what he did in the minors. All he did was hit the baseball. Last year, he had a good run. He got off to a slow start this year. Maybe they're trying to build confidence. That's why they're doing this whole platoon thing. And, you know, Colin Cowgill is just a streaky hitter, so maybe they just want to, you know, get as much as they can out of him. But
yeah, I'm sort of skeptical. I'm waiting to see if this plays out for longer, because if it does, then Calhoun does need to be downgraded.
Well, Herc has him 39th. Al, you have him in the 50s, so you're not quite as high on Calhoun. And would you rather have Calhoun? Would you drop Calhoun right now for Corey Dickerson?
I would.
Yeah, I think you have to. Corey Dickerson's hitting the cover off the baseball.
I still don't trust him to play against lefties either. But you know, pound for pound, I like Dickerson better as a hitter.
Corey Dickerson. Let me just make sure I have this right here. Corey Dickerson against lefties. 267 batting average, 267 slugging percentage. No extra base hits.
How many bats? Because
15.
Yeah. So two important stories there, and one is it's the small sample. So the lack of extra base hits doesn't mean anything, but the small sample itself tells you something important.
Sure.
Yeah.
Shin-Soo Choo doubled and drove in four. George Springer returned. He had two hits. Kendrys Morales, guys, is 6-for-13 with three doubles so far.
That's amazing.
Yeah?
Don't you think, after not playing for the whole season?
It's a good point. It's a good point. Is that changing your mind at all? He's 66% owned.
No, because, well, in a way, yes, because I didn't move him in my rankings after the Twins signing, but that was based on thinking he wasn't really going to play much for a couple weeks. So, I mean, maybe he gets an incremental bump up for
Singleton or Morales?
Singleton.
Morales.
Teixeira or Morales?
Teixeira.
Morales. Because actually I like Singleton better than Teixeira.
Okay. And where are we here? Carlos Gomez has reached base safely in 26 straight games. Mark Reynolds started against the righty. He went 0-for-4. Yesterday he sat against 2 days ago. Juan Francisco sat against the righty. He's having a bad week.
I was so happy to move him down my rankings yesterday. I was like, he just does not deserve to be up there.
I'm just about done. Like, if he can't do anything the rest of this, because he had a good week against nothing but righties. He's done nothing. He was on the bench yesterday with Lind at first. And
this is
and
what
Carnacion
Juan Francisco
DH-ing.
Does. He has a hot streak, and then he cools off. So,
two more hits and a walk for Lonnie Chisenhall. And Boston has scored one run in three games at Baltimore.
I got an interesting question on Twitter yesterday. They said, next week, should I start Lonnie Chisenhall over Chris Davis?
CH?
No, Baltimore K. Orioles.
Oh,
Davis.
Yeah.
CH.
Oh, I'm sorry. Say. I wasn't paying attention.
There is no way I would do that. No way, no how.
I said, I think you need to find a way to get both of them in the lineup. I said, move Chisenhall to third or put Chisenhall at DH. So I agreed with you. I would keep Chris Davis in my lineup.
All right, let's talk about some of the biggest busts. And then we'll get into yesterday's stuff. Did I mention the Grant Balfour thing?
Yeah. No.
Grant Balfour threw 2 1/3 scoreless yesterday.
Yeah.
Got a save. Not usually the way you use your closer.
Well, then Madden said afterwards.
He's not the closer.
Yeah, he's still in a committee approach. He said this changes nothing.
But it's weird.
Right, that's what I mean. It is weird, and I think it's encouraging. And again, with Balfour, it's like he gave up those 5 runs in his previous outing. But other than that, he was pitching well. 7 appearances. Last 7 appearances, 6 have been scoreless. You guys think Balfour will be the closer within the next 3 weeks?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
You do? Okay.
Possibly sooner.
Okay. Biggest busts. Joe Mauer, number 8 catcher in points leagues, number 12 in Roto. 3-for-4 with his 9th double yesterday. General thoughts on Joe Mauer?
I think the position change is affecting him more than he's maybe letting on, because moving to a new position and learning the defensive intricacies, I mean, you know, that's where their mind is. They want to do this well, and I think that's affecting them.
I hadn't really considered that, to be honest, and it makes some sense. I was going more with the theory of that all the years of catching maybe were catching up with him, and also maybe there's some post-concussion thing going on. I mean, these are all just kind of, you know, shots in the dark because I don't know how else to explain what's happened with Joe Mauer this year.
I feel like in points leagues, he's going to be a lot better than in Roto. What do you guys think?
Well, yeah, the power obviously is killing him in Roto.
I just thought he was going to dominate the position in both formats.
I still think he is. I think he's going to have a huge second half.
You do?
Yeah.
How about you?
Yeah, I do too. And if I buy into my own theory about catching wearing him down from the past, it can take some encouragement. I know it's a completely different situation because he's coming back from a terrible injury, but Victor Martinez needing half a season to get into form. And I understand they're completely different situations, but
nice comparison though.
Well, and just former catchers and very extended streaks, cold streaks. So I don't know. I do think I'll have a good second half for whatever reason.
Buster Posey is a top four catcher in both formats. Last year, all right, so right now he's third in points, fourth in Roto. Last year he was third in points, fifth in Roto, Buster Posey. But this year he is averaging 0.64 fantasy points per plate appearance. Last year, 0.695 fantasy points per plate appearance. And that really is a pretty significant difference. So, again, that's what I've been saying about how the top-end catchers just haven't really been performing well. So you could be number three this year or number four without performing nearly as well as you had to last year. Anyway.
Well, I guess my thing is if you look at his line, it's close to Miguel Montero, who's the second highest fantasy scoring catcher. And Montero, before he slumped last year, was a top five fantasy catcher the year before. Correct me if I'm wrong. He was a high-end guy. Yeah, I mean, he may not be – these last few weeks he's been really bad. But the start season, Posey was pretty good. My thing with, I'm not too concerned about Buster Posey either. I think where he is right now, and catcher's been so bad. I mean, that's the thing that I take away from here is that Buster Posey's, to me, is still where he was drafted, good value, because he's still in the top three, and catcher is such a terrible position.
I tell you, I'm very sort of confused about Posey's value at this point because, and I just checked his career stats year by year to confirm this, because it seems like he's on again, off again with the power. There was the rookie season where he had very good power, better than I think people expected, as I recall. And then the terrible year, he missed most of the year because of the Scott Cousins incident, but before that he wasn't really doing much, and then he came back from that horrible injury and hit with all his power, and then hasn't really hit with that much power since. So, to me, it's a sort of Sandoval-esque, or there's another player I had, David Wright, I guess, probably a better comparison because higher
he's
end
on this list.
But same deal.
Well, Herc's not worried. Yeah. It seems like you still think he's.
Yeah, I mean, a guy that a catcher first base eligible, that's a huge bonus in fantasy as well. I mean, obviously you started my catcher, but yeah, he's going to finish in the top three of fantasy catchers, and that's what you drafted him for.
Yeah, but is he going to be a huge difference maker at the position? Is he going to help win you fantasy, or is he just going to be, good for a catcher?
Well, here's my thing with catcher. I mean, that's the whole point of making catchers in our 16-team league. Who's my starting catcher? It's Mike Zunino, and I'm in first place. I'm one of those guys who punts on catchers every year pretty much, and it's just a weak position that I don't think you have to stress out about.
I just figured something out. All right, so he's touting Cole Calhoun, right, 15 yeah. minutes ago. He's punting where's the zipper on it? Because when you unzip the Herc suit, Nando's under there.
They're good friends, He's a lot of influence.
He's in. Yeah, exactly.
How do you feel about Leonis Martin and Jed Jerko?
Nando.
all right. Does anybody still think Posey's like MVP caliber?
I don't. There's enough inconsistency there.
Okay. All right, I'm not sure what we accomplished with that one, but Dustin Pedroia.
I think we've made the argument that catcher is a weak position.
Yeah, but but Posey was a guy who at a weak position was so much better than most of, and Mauer too, than most of the rest of the competition, that he was worth drafting early.
Yeah.
But it's not the case this year.
He is. He's the top three catcher.
Herc, you're missing my point.
I'm not missing your point.
No, you are. Top three when you're batting. What is when you're batting 271 with eight home runs and 29 RBI? That's garbage.
You just said he's elite.
Didn't he win the freaking MVP a few years
ago?
Yes,
but you said you drafted him to be elite at the position. He's elite.
No,
at his
position. No, he's not. He's bunched in with a lot of other guys.
And I don't think he's.
He was elite. He wasn't just elite at his position. He was an elite player.
Buster,
he's not anymore.
Buster, he's not putting up Jonathan Lucroy numbers, right? Not
Lucroy is elite at the position.
Yeah.
Thank you, Al.
Wait, so there's one person elite at the position?
Molina and Lucroy.
It can't be.
Yeah. Look, Miguel Cabrera was elite at third base last year.
Listen, again, up until somebody put this on the list, I did not view Buster Posey as a bust.
I did.
Yeah,
not a huge bust.
We park company here, Nando.
All right.
Dustin Pedroia, number 12 in points, number 15 in Roto, two hits yesterday, 271, three homers, two steals, 21 RBI. Last year, 301, nine homers, 17 steals.
By the way, most of the guys on this list, I'm against being on the bust list, so.
Again,
I'm the devil's advocate here.
I don't really understand. if you don't think they're going to finish as bust, that's one thing, but I don't really know how you could argue that Pedroia hasn't been a bust when he is the number 12 second baseman points.
Let me get on my soapbox
here. Roto.
I'm getting on
and
my soapbox.
By the way, he pointed out by Andrew Harner that Pedroia can be roid ape in our fantasy anagrams game.
Well, can we go then?
Go on your little
soapbox. Who's the next guy on this list who's a bust because it's the same
Robinson
position?
Robinson Cano.
Okay. So here's my thing, and if you read my blog yesterday, second base has become such a deep position. I was doing my rankings yesterday. At the top 20 first baseman, I didn't even go 22, I think could all be starters. That's how deep the position has gotten in fantasy baseball. That Robinson Cano, the only thing that he's struggling is his power, obviously, but he's still, like, I believe, the eighth highest scoring fantasy second baseman. This is because the rest of the position has gotten so good. We didn't see this coming into the season. Dustin Pedroia, out of the first 10 scoring periods, has had 20 or more fantasy points in five of them. You're telling me that's a bust? He's doing what fantasy owners...
Well, first of all, you're completely discounting the Roto people who are looking at three home runs.
Okay, here's another here's another thing. All right, I'm just sorry. I'm on my soapbox. Ian Kinsler. Scott and Al have Ian Kinsler outside the top five right now, right? In both Roto and Points League, Ian Kinsler is a top five scoring option. He's done nothing to lose his preseason status. I'm not criticizing Al or Scott. I'm just showing you how deep the position has got, that Ian Kinsler has done nothing wrong to begin the season besides have a low batting average, and he's still one of the top five.
Well, actually, his batting average is fine. Points League, he's hurting from the lack of steals, but...
He's a top five guy still.
I meant walks. I think I just said steals.
Yeah, but he's getting all these runs. He's still producing for fantasy owners.
All right, Herc, this is the thing. If you don't think that Robinson Cano, who for many people was a top six pick in the fantasy draft, and has hit three home runs and is the number eight fantasy first baseman,
second baseman
in points and number nine in Roto. Actually, I think that's switched. If you don't think that he's a bust, you're insane. Because you are not getting first-round value. It doesn't matter. He's supposed to be better than all the second basemen. He's supposed to be better than Anthony Rendon.
He's hit 330. How is that a bust?
He has three home runs, and he's not driving.
Come on.
I know that he's hitting 330, and he's still a good player. And that's why I think he's going to turn around and hit for power, because obviously he's not a diminished player.
Tony Cingrani's a bust.
No, Robinson Cano is also a bust. You got Tony Cingrani nine rounds at least later than Robinson Cano.
I'm going to question this whole exercise. What is the point of calling a guy a bust after 2 months?
Well, my point is,
are
they going to stay busts? Or should you make plays for them? Should you try to trade for Cano? Should you try to trade for Pedroia?
This is semantics, but to me, bust is a very final sort of judgment.
Okay, then let's call them week 11 busts if you want. I don't care.
Adam's all fired up today. I can't wait for this
show,
man. It's
guys that you've been disappointed in this year. I, this is so obvious to me. Like, how could you sit there as a Pedroia owner who took him in the second or the third round and be happy with what you've got?
Five.
How can you sit
there? Robinson Cano is fantasy points.
Robinson Cano is burying. There's been 10 weeks, dude. What about the other five? You want a guy who's good for half
how
the
many,
damn year?
How many of those weeks has he had less than 10 fantasy points, Dustin Pedroia?
Oh, my God.
Two.
10
two.
Fantasy points? That's your floor? That's horrible.
You can't, you so you
ten
want him
fantasy
so, no
points.
No, so what you're saying every week he should be a 20 fantasy point player. It's not going to happen.
I'm not saying that, but half the
week
is not
with
good enough.
500 fan over
Herc,
500 fantasy
what
points.
What about Roto? 2 home runs, 3 steals for Dustin Pedroia. Robinson Cano is really hurting me in my two podcast in our two points leagues where I took him in the first round. He's really hurting me. I need better production for my first round pick. Forget about him as a second baseman.
This might be the best podcast of the year.
Think about Robinson Cano as a first round pick. That's the point.
I'm with Al on this one. That's why I can't view these guys as busts. I think right now it's too early to say any of this.
Oh, that's I know that it's too early. I'm asking you what you think the rest of the year.
All right, the rest of the year. You know what I think? I think Pedroia is just short of elite. Because I'll concede the power's disappointing, and given what he did last year, what he's done this year, the hand injuries and all that, I think bust is going to be way too strong. He just needs to drive in some freaking runs, and he'll be fine.
Okay. Thank you for putting it so eloquently. David Wright. So far, he's been a bust. I don't care what you say. This position sucks,
yeah.
And he's number 15
I'll give
in
you
points.
That one. I'm not going to argue David
number
Wright.
Number 12
we're
in
on
Roto.
Board here.
Yeah. It's,
all right. What do you guys think about?
It's just because somebody wrote in and say, what are the three things Adam complains about every day yesterday?
Yeah, you've got like a week's worth of blog material here.
I didn't even write that blog entry.
I'm just going to feel today's blog entry is, I debate Herc on all the players. Here's the podcast.
David Wright. Is he going to turn things around? Is he worth making a buy low play for right now?
Yeah, here's a guy I'm not so sure on. I mean, he says his lack of power so far has been he's had some good hits at Citi Field that just haven't gone out, that could have gone out at other parks. You can buy that a little bit, but I mean, the rest of his numbers have been pretty bad, right?
Yeah, I've got to just quibble with the – really, it's just a minor point, part of your point. But it's just because I was reading all this stuff the last couple days about, you know, Citi Field, should they move the fences in? La, 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 la. Citi Field's a good hitter's park now and has been since they moved the fences in the first time.
Yeah.
I think it probably depends on what kind of hitter you are. I don't know that it's tailored for David Wright because he's got Wright center field power, and that is an enormous part of that ball. Isn't that,
fair enough.
Like, I feel like
fair enough.
That's the case. Because I do see him fly out to deep right. A right center.
You know what's Mets player I'm excited about right now? Lucas Duda.
All right. That's completely off subject.
Come on. I
make
just want to
make
throw
a quick point. No, because we got to do a short podcast
I
today.
Yesterday, Herc,
oh,
so.
Good. All right. Then read Al's blog. There we go. We can move on.
David Wright, top 5 third baseman, rest of season.
Yeah, I'm selling it.
Sell it.
Wow. Okay. Justin Verlander was doing okay through 5 innings and then got pummeled in the 6th. Gave up 7 runs in 5 2/3, 8 hits, 4 walks, 6 strikeouts. Can I call him a bust?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. I don't want to get yelled at here.
Yelling.
I don't want to be disagreed with and then start yelling at other people.
I love you, Adam, man. You're the man, all right?
Would you buy low on Verlander, or are you avoiding him?
You know what? This is scary. Look at his 2008 season when he lost 17 games, and look at that line compared to this line this year, and it's eerily, eerily close. His strikeouts are down, and his walks are high.
I'll tell you, I don't want to buy low on Justin Verlander, and in fact, I thought about doing something really stupid, which was offering him up in our podcast Rejects League, which we never mentioned on the podcast.
Oh, yeah. What's up, Rejects?
Yes. So I thought about doing that, and then I thought, why would you sell a guy this low? That's really dumb.
Right.
I was tempted to do it.
I offered I offered your Donovan Ventura for him, and I would do that.
I think I would take that, yeah.
You'd take Ventura?
I would.
I offered it before last night's start, but I watched a lot of last night's start. It was encouraging enough. If Alejandro Deaza doesn't bloop in a RBI single, I think the line ends up looking a lot better. My only thing is, like, he used to just dominate, and it's not like that anymore. It's not easy for Verlander anymore, it doesn't seem. It seems like he's just struggling. And
Well, I don't know.
It's more of a chore.
I don't know what it really is because I was on Brooks Baseball looking around. The only thing I saw different is last few starts, he's not throwing his four-seam fastball as much. It's under 50% thrown, which is unusual for him.
He can still get up there 97, 98. He just can't do it nearly as consistently. I think, you know, he's more of like a 94 guy. Which, but I still think that's enough velocity.
I think there's issues with the fastball movement.
Probably.
The velocity.
Right, yeah. And his changeup, too. I mean, if he's not fooling people with his changeup, then.
Shelby Miller's been a bust. Dominic Brown has been a bust. Would you want to buy low on either of these two guys?
No, but if you force me to pick one, it would be Miller. Some slightly encouraging performances lately, but still not a lot of swings and misses.
Al, Dominic Brown, last year his home run to fly ball rate was 13.6. This year it's 5.8. Does that mean anything to you?
Just that latter mark is really pretty lousy.
Is it due to go up, or is it just he's having a bad year?
This is just a complete kind of gut feeling that it's not going to go up. You know, because that high rate last year was based on him going absolutely bananas for about 2 months.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what my point. I'm going to say two quick things here because I don't want to get yelled at. Shelby Miller was average ninth round. I think he's giving you ninth round production. I don't think he's a bust. I think he's right exactly where he's supposed to be. And as far as Dominic Brown, you're right. From after July last season, he was bad. So it just seems like he's carrying that over into this season. And you're absolutely right. 12 home runs in, was it June last year?
I think so.
Yeah. So.
Shelby Miller, the only reason why he's had some fantasy value is because he's won games.
Wins, yeah.
Yeah.
The strikeouts are 34 walks, 53 strikeouts, and 77.
Oh, yeah. Strikeouts are just disappointing.
I think you look at the underlying stats and the fact that he's struggling to go deep into games and pitch well deep into games. I think he is a bust. He's been unreliable.
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
His start percentage right now is 60%, so I think that kind of indicates people don't trust him.
I just think the points you were making were valid earlier about where these guys were drafted, like Cano and Posey and stuff like that, but wasn't drafted that high. Shelby Miller was a middle-round pick.
So what do you have to do to be a bust at this point? Like be demoted to the bullpen, like Tony Cingrani?
Yeah, sure.
So he's a bust.
Absolutely.
No, but we agree on
Cosmo Pinto's a bust. He went to AAA. Who else?
Derek Dietrich's a bust.
Okay, so there are really no busts. How about Trevor Davis on Twitter says, Matt Cain. He says, Cain! The con to my Captain Kirk. Matt Cain's a bust, according to Trevor Davis. He's got a point here.
Struggled I'm not going to argue. This one I'm not arguing. I actually was talking to Al about Matt Cain before he came in. I'm the only one that has him, I believe, past 40 in the SP rankings. I don't think Matt Cain's a good fantasy starting pitcher.
Yeah, I'm not going to drop him that low, but the thing with Cain is that he's never really been better than an average strikeout pitcher, so you banked on the fact that he wasn't going to walk many guys, he was going to pitch half of his games at AT&T Park, he just wasn't going to give up a lot of home runs overall, and this is now 2 years where he's given up a lot of home runs, and a second straight year where the walk rate's gone up quite a bit. So I'm thinking it's time to leave him behind as you know, top 15, 20 guy.
Guys, last year Matt Cain went 3-4 with a 2.36 ERA after the All-Star break, and he was really bad before the All-Star break. Do you think it could happen again? Do you think it will happen again?
I think it could happen again because he has been so consistent over the last several years. Maybe it's another slump, but just when you look at the last year and a half as a whole, yeah, that the good stretch doesn't look like the meteor part of his body of work.
Tim Kimmel says Billy Butler's a bust.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
Will he turn it around?
I have no idea. I asked Scott that yesterday. I'm like, Scott, please tell me he's going to turn this around. And Scott couldn't give me an answer either.
That's telling, because I'm pretty sure Scott's the high man on Butler in our group here. So I've dropped him in a league.
Yeah. James Green, Carlos Santana is a bust. And he says, amazed air. Not a bad anagram for Adam Azer.
Santana's been playing a lot better lately after a slow start. I'm not going there. I don't think he's been a bust.
He has been so far. I think it's, you know, hard to put a good face on what he's done so far, but I do put a lot of faith in him to not be one in a month or two.
Dude, come on. Carlos Santana is a bust. He's not even batting 200.
I mean, what has he done lately? I'm influenced by what he's done lately.
And he went on the DL. So. He's been nothing but, or well, it's a 7-day DL, but still.
Listen, where we have him ranked, we haven't really moved him all that much. He's moved down slightly at each position.
I haven't moved him at all. Yeah. But again, you know, not everybody that I'm going to call a bust is somebody that I've lost faith in. There are kind of two different issues.
Maybe we should have planned this a little more. So we didn't know what we were talking about to start. I'm sorry, Adam. I don't mean to pick on you, buddy.
That's fine. Carlos Santana, top five catcher for you guys in Roto, top three in points leagues. And James, real J. Eddie, says Jason Kipnis is a bust.
Yeah, I'd have to.
I'd have to disagree with that one.
Absolutely. I'm with you guys disagreeing.
He's playing better since coming off the DL.
Again, it's just the perception that second base is so deep now. That's why.
He's also a streaky player, so it wasn't a surprise to see him be cold early. All right, yesterday's stuff, and I do apologize. This show is going to be a little shorter than usual. Studs being studs.
That's what they do.
Cole Hamels struck out 11 in 8 scoreless against San Diego. When was the last time a guy didn't strike out double digits against San Diego, right?
And he didn't get the win because Tyson Ross was equally as impressive.
Yeah. Masahiro Tanaka, complete game, 2-run homer in the 9th to Robinson Cano, 11 Ks, 1 walk. Johnny Cueto, 6 scoreless innings, 3 hits, no walks, 12 strikeouts. He is now 109 Ks in 102 innings, and that is a 9.6 K rate when his career average is 7.3 for Johnny Cueto. And Yu Darvish, complete game shutout of the Marlins, 6 hits, 3 walks, 10 Ks. 2.11 ERA.
I got a question on Twitter yesterday. Somebody asked me, "You Darvish or Tanaka rest of the season?" That's like splitting hairs.
Darvish,
but I went Darvish too. Yeah,
I'll go Tanaka, but it is splitting hairs. It's 1A, 1B.
If there's anything that separates it, just for me, Tanaka has faced one opponent twice so far. That was his worst start of the year. It was a 6-inning, 3-run outing, but it was against the Cubs. Not a bad start. But that's the only opponent he faced twice. And even they talked about how it was beneficial that they had seen him before.
That's so knowledge right there.
I just want to see what happens second time through with Tanaka. All right. I don't think there's much to say about those guys, is there?
No.
Then let's talk about – that was studs being studs with an exclamation point. This is studs being studs with a question mark. Studs being studs? Dallas Keuchel, 8 innings, 4 hits, 1 run, 1 walk, 5 Ks against the Diamondbacks. He has a 2.38 ERA. Phil Hughes, whoa. 7 innings, 7 hits, no runs, no walks, 9 Ks at Toronto. 8 walks and 72 strikeouts this year. Mike Exisa wrote a big piece on him. It's on CBSSports.com/MLB. We've talked about it. Really using that cutter a lot this year, and it's been a good pitch for him. Tyson Ross, 7 scoreless, only 1 walk. That's a good sign for him. 7 Ks at Philadelphia. He had been scuffling a bit, but his ERA is under 3. And Yordano Ventura, kind of like Michael Wacha, 3 strikeouts or less in 5 of his last 6, including this one here. I am trying to sell high on Yordano Ventura. Everybody turned down my trade offers yesterday. I guess I'm shooting for the moon. But
yeah, make me another one.
All right, yeah, I like Ventura, I do. But if I can get a more established guy, maybe a 2-for-1 for a more established guy.
That was him and somebody else for Wainwright.
It was like him and Keuchel for Wainwright, I think.
No, it wasn't somebody as good as Keuchel. Not that I would have done that either, but.
Okay, maybe it was Kennedy? No, yeah. It was him and Sonny Gray, Al, for Wainwright. Ventura and Sonny Gray. It wasn't an outlandish trade at all. I knew you weren't going to take it, but I tried. But I'm just worried that Ventura is going to kind of fall off a little bit at the end of the year. You got a while, maybe, but I look at what happened to Shelby Miller last year. It happens with a lot of pitchers. First full season in the bigs, and Ventura threw 150 innings last year between the majors and the minors. I just kind of feel like he might not be that reliable in August and September.
What about Wacha? Same way?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think the same would go for him. I don't know what his total
why not.
When you add in all the postseason.
I guess I just haven't looked up the innings and the work for Wacha. But anyway, Keuchel, Hughes, Ross, Ventura, are these guys bona fide studs that you're going to start almost every week?
I'm getting there with Dallas Keuchel, that's for sure. I mean, I was bullish on him early in the season like you were.
Yeah.
And I'm every time I feel like this is the end for Dallas Keuchel, and it just keeps going and going and going.
you said bullish like I was at the beginning of the season. I mean,
you were the most bullish, obviously.
Well, maybe the first. I'm not even so sure about that. But at the beginning of the season, I was ticked off that Keuchel won the fifth starter. Remember, he started the year as the fifth starter for the sorry Astros rotation. At that point, it was sorry. And, you know, boy, nobody has surprised me more this year than Dallas Keuchel.
And then the one other guy on this list, Tyson Ross. Maybe, like you were saying, he just got his ERA under 3. He had a little bit of rough period. But even during his rough periods, he was putting up good fantasy points. I didn't know how valuable he was until I looked at Scott White's rankings and saw him move him in top 10, RP. I think he has Ross as a top 40 starting pitcher. The guy's just putting up fantasy points and is doing well in Roto as well.
Yeah, and Ross is my favorite SPARP this year. And all these guys are just, for me, just shy of what I would call a stud. Keuchel's probably the closest to one I would start every week, Keuchel and Ross.
You like them both better than Yordano Ventura?
A little bit, yeah.
Wow. I didn't realize that. And Phil Hughes, I mean, is he not legit? I still can't believe it.
I can't either, to be honest. I mean, I can believe, like, I can believe everything pretty much up till this start. I thought he was going to get hammered at Toronto.
Yeah, Phil Hughes to me and the guy like you, like Ryan Volgason. I think I compare them, be at the same pitcher.
Guys, tell me about Ruby De La Rosa and Marcus Stroman. What you thought of them yesterday?
Yeah, well, De La Rosa was one of my recommended starts on our daily segment yesterday, and that's one I'd like to add back because that didn't work out as well as I thought it would. This doesn't really change his value, my estimation, though.
Which is what?
A two-start week. I think there's mixed league potential there, and that's about as high as I would go, but I think he's somebody that needs to be owned in 15-team mixed and deeper.
And how about
Stroman?
Stroman.
Yeah, I mean, he's not going to be as good as he was the previous two starts every time out, and he wasn't terrible yesterday. I mean, Phil Hughes pitched really good. And, you know, you give up 3 runs, you probably are in competition
start.
To win. So,
man, 9 hits was a little worrisome.
Yeah, not at this point, I like Stroman, and I think this is a reversal for me because I'm buying into Stroman now. I do like him better than Ruby De La Rosa.
Would you rather have Stroman or Tommy Malone?
I suppose Stroman.
I guess so as well.
Would you rather have Stroman or Trevor Bauer?
Stroman.
Bauer.
Ooh.
Really? Stroman for you, huh?
I'm not a huge Trevor Bauer fan. I understand the strikeouts are there, but talk about a guy who gets hit hard. Talk about a guy who gives up runs. Look at his fantasy production. It isn't anything, you know, standing out about Trevor Bauer.
Interesting trend going on here with Bauer. 3 road starts, 3 home starts. He's got a 2.50 ERA at home and a 6.19 ERA on the road. Small sample, and you look at the home starts, one of them was against Detroit or San Diego, which helps. But anyway, I'm keeping an eye on that. How about Tanner Roark and Willie Peralta? Good starts yesterday. Are they in the Keuchel, Hughes, Ross, Ventura group? Or are they below that?
They're below that for me. Roark for sure. Very encouraging for Willie Peralta to see him get some of his command back. Only 3 strikeouts, but that's not really where I expect him to have his value. So, good for him.
Finally, guys, Jared. Oh God, we should have talked more about Jared Weaver. I know Al's a little worried, right?
I am. I'm down on him.
Herc?
Coming into this year, I had a chance to keep him in a keeper league, and I didn't do it. So,
okay. And some news and notes to end things for you here. Chad Billingsley had a setback in his recovery from Tommy John surgery. His elbow was weak after a bullpen session. Logan Morrison's off the DL for Seattle. He started at first base last night, went 0-for-4 against Masahiro Tanaka. And in related news, Michael Saunders on the DL with a shoulder injury and Justin Smoke on the DL with a quad injury. Boston signed outfielder Andres Torres for some center field depth. Wellington Castillo expected back later this month. And the White Sox acquired relief pitcher Sean Hill from Toronto. He has not pitched in the major since 2012 when he threw 3 innings, so I don't think that's a closer candidate or anything like that.
Can I ask Al one question before we sign off?
Yeah.
Al, even if Chad Billingsley was healthy and didn't have another setback, what were the Dodgers going to do with him? There's no spot in the rotation.
No.
They're 5 deep right now.
Yeah.
And really good 5 deep.
I've wondered that myself, and I don't have an answer.
Plus, he's not
He'd be the long man? Oh, they trade him?
He's not that good, is he? You guys think he's good?
Before he was hurt,
He should be in, you know, any other team's rotation when he's healthy.
Is he that good for fantasy, though? I don't know.
Well, he has been at times.
Yeah.
At his
right.
best.
Okay, at times. But it doesn't really matter, does it? Well, then, at times, 2008, 2007.
No, there was right before the TJ. I think he had a very good stretch.
He had a good year in 2012. He had a 3.55 ERA.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess he's better than I give him credit for. Okay, we're done. Thank you, guys. Also, Injuries, News, and Notes, Part 3. Herrick and I are good friends.
I know. I was just going to say.
That's why I yelled at him.
Yeah, he's just going to come by my desk today and start yelling at me just to make me feel like at home, you know?
All right, thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you on Fantasy Baseball Today, live, noon Eastern, and tomorrow on the podcast when we help you set your lineup for week 12.